Hello and welcome to On Mission, a podcast from the Catholic Apostolate Center. My name is Chris Pierno, and I'm joined on the podcast today by Father Frank Donio and Sarah Scalfaro. And we'll be discussing basilicas with our guest, Grady Connolly, content creator and founder of Social Thomist. Grady, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here. Thanks for fitting us into your busy schedule.
Of course. Thanks for the invitation. You guys are doing great work, so it's a real pleasure to be here.
We really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. You've been engaged in a very interesting project, and you're trying to go to all the, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're trying to go to all the basilicas in the United States?
Correct. So there are 94 minor basilicas in the U.S. Wow. And a lot of people don't know this, that there's so many, ranging everywhere from, cities and suburbs to rural areas. And, it's been life-changing. I started about 3 years ago, and kind of the beginning of this was I visited the Basilica here in D.C., the National Shrine, my freshman year of high school for a youth ministry trip, and I fell in love with it. And it had a huge part in kind of that prayerful place in my spiritual life, especially during college at Catholic U. And I just had this thought, like, well, there's all these graces to be had at these churches. Like, why not go and visit all of them and all the different kind of pockets around the country? And it's been amazing, just kind of learning about the history of our country, Catholicism of the West, liturgies, music. There's just so much depth to the American church. And I think so many people think that you have to go to the Holy Land or Europe or, Rome or something to see these beautiful churches. But there's these amazing kind of beacons of beauty here at home. And my hope with this project is to help people kind of see that and then embrace it. Go support the local church through pilgrimage. And I think people will see a lot of fruits in their own lives from it.
That's wonderful. Maybe we start off our conversation by going to the beginning. If our listeners don't know, what is a basilica? What distinguishes it from another church? Kind of just some background information before we dive in.
Yeah. So basilicas were originally, it means royal house. That's kind of how it translates. And the Romans would have these basilicas simply in a secular sense as kind of these government buildings, these places for administration. They were typically large structures, so solely kind of a government focus. After kind of St. Peter and Paul, really evangelized Rome and Rome started to change, these basilicas became religious sites. They needed large structures to house all the faithful that were starting to convert to Christianity. So that's kind of how basilicas started. St. John Lateran is kind of the mothership of basilicas. It's one of the papal basilicas of Rome. There are four papal basilicas. So there's St. Peter's, St. John Lateran, St. Mary Major, and St. Paul outside the wall. So basically all basilicas have branched off from the Lateran. So these are churches that, maybe have some special historical significance. Typically there's something unique about that church, and the local ordinary can basically petition to have this church receive that special designation of basilica. All basilicas are considered minor basilicas, aside from those four major basilicas of Rome. But it's a real special honor from the Holy See directly for this church to kind of have that designation. Once that church has that designation as minor basilica, they have a responsibility to really prioritize liturgy, music, pilgrimage, and really be a place for the faithful to come and encounter the sacraments in a powerful way. So, some of them are cathedrals, some are just small parishes, but all of them have that special history. A really great example I always share with people is if you go to California, you see all the California missions, St. Junipero Serra really bringing Catholicism to this part of the world. And all of these churches are so significant and really are Catholicism here in the United States. So if you go and visit these churches, you see kind of how it all started here. So that's a really good example of kind of why these churches have that designation. So that's kind of the basic history of kind of how this all came to be. But the Holy Father, it's an amazing way for us, no matter where we're going in the world, to go to a place that's tied to the Holy Father in a powerful way. So whenever I go to these basilicas, part of kind of my ritual of attending these churches is praying for the Pope, the bishop of that diocese, and then also for the soul of or for the intercession of the Pope who named that church a basilica. So kind of a way to, you know, bring the faithful together and ultimately turn it back to prayer for the Holy Father.
So when you look at how these churches, we're, of course, in the United States, we're not that old of a country in comparison to Europe. And yet we have these 94 basilicas here, minor basilicas. And so how does that even happen? What occurs associated with that? They're certainly not named that at the beginning. You mentioned the National Shrine, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. When I first came to Washington, it was the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, and later was named a minor basilica. But how does that all occur?
Well, it usually starts with that kind of special nugget, you know, that one thing that people have identified as being a real spiritual fruit of this particular church. And once the local ordinary kind of decides, okay, this is a place where the faithful are really encountering the faith in a powerful way, then they go to the bishop's conference. And the bishop's conference can really, really sway the opinion of the Holy See on the significance of that church. So, you know, they petition, they start to discuss what are the significance, the points of significance of that church. And then when the conference approaches the Vatican, they basically have to submit, you know, photography of the interior, the exterior, you know, the history of the building of the church, who built it, why it was built, what's the devotion that's tied to it. Obviously, the National Shrine is a great example because it's so important to American Catholicism as being obviously America's Catholic Church, you know, being named for the patroness of our country. So, you know, again, it's kind of a way for Rome to give that stamp on a church that this is a place that is critical for the universal church, not just the local church. So, and then once it's approved, you'll see if you go into these churches, you always look for kind of the two designations of a basilica. You have the umbrellino, so, you know, the red and yellow umbrella, if you will, that has the papal coat of arms on there, and the tintinnabulum, which is the little bell. And both of those are tied to the Holy Father. Traditionally, the umbrellino would cover the Pope in procession, and then the bell would ring as the Pope was coming through. So yeah, kind of, again, those visible signs, the manifestations of Rome's approval of this devotion. There's also, what's really amazing is, I always tell people that there's tremendous graces that most people don't realize that are a part of these churches. So plenary indulgences, like on certain feast days, on their dedication feast days. And I've actually had on a couple instances when I've gone to these churches, it's just amazing. I've just happened to be there on their dedication day to get the plenary indulgence, like no planning whatsoever, but I've just showed up and it's their dedication day, which is just such a beautiful grace. But you know, it's really the outpouring of the love of the church in, you know, these four walls of a church. So yeah, absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about, so for those listeners who may not be familiar with you, or why we've invited you to come on and talk? You're as Father mentioned, you're going around the country trying to visit all the basilicas in the country, and you know, for your pilgrimage around the country, we hope they don't name any more basilicas, so that keeps adding to your list. I mean, of course, we hope we name more, but you know what I mean. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, your journey thus far and what inspired it? I mean, you talked a little bit about that already, but, you know,
sure.
How many have you visited, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Well, so real quick, what you just mentioned, the most recent one, they just named one in December. It was 93.
Wow.
Until about 6 months ago. So I had to add one to my list for later this year. It's in Palm Beach, Florida. They have a new basilica down there.
Seven more to 100, you know.
Yeah. So they are still naming them. They still pop up. So I keep adjusting the list as I need to. But yeah, so I've visited about 62 of them out of the 94.
Wow.
I'll finish this year. The plan is I'll be done by Christmas. And I am writing a book, which will be done January 1st. And it'll come out later next year, of just basically the whole story of the basilicas, why I'm doing this, and then ultimately a guide for people to then go and actually do it themselves. So that's in the works. But yeah, to go back to kind of the story, I'll give a little more context. So I'm from a rural part of Maine, kind of middle of nowhere. I went to public high school. I've kind of physical laboring parents, that never went to college. So college was always the dream. And like I mentioned, my freshman year, I came down to DC with my youth ministry group for the March for Life. We went to the vigil mass the night before at the Basilica. And immediately I just fell in love and just knew like, this is where I need to come to school. But could never afford it. It seemed crazy, ridiculous, impossible that it would happen. So went home, prayed about it like crazy. My parents always rooted us on and just did everything I could to try to make this happen. And I had learned about the Archdiocesan Scholarship at Catholic U, which is the full tuition 4-year scholarship. And I was like, that's my one shot at this. So just went along my business, prayed like crazy. My senior year, we came back for the Vigil for Life. And it was like 2-3 months before decision season. So I was kind of in crunch mode. I still didn't have anything in order to come to Catholic U in terms of financials. It wasn't possible. So after the Vigil for Life at the Basilica, it cleared out. We were the last ones there. We were just kind of touring around upstairs after the whole place cleared. And I went in the upper church and kind of had this little moment with God. I always say it was really a moment in my life. It was really the first moment in my life where I had a real conversation with God. And my prayer was, I said, God, I want to come here so bad. Like, I just know that this is the place for me. I feel so at peace here. I feel a happiness here. But as of now, it's not possible. But I know that if you want me to come here, it'll happen. And if you allow me to come here, I'll come and visit you here at the Basilica every day when I get here. So went home, didn't think much of it. And then 2 weeks, I got a letter in the mail saying that we'd like to interview you for the full ride to Catholic U. So came down, interviewed, and then got the scholarship. So then I was like, man, that's amazing. But now I need to figure out the whole room and board thing. So there's still, $10,000, $15,000 a year for room and board. So we had about 2 weeks to figure it out. And lo and behold, I got enough private scholarships in those 2 weeks to cover the remaining room and board for 4 years. So God fully answered that prayer. So when I came to Catholic U for undergrad, I fulfilled the promise and visited him in the Basilica every day. And it totally changed my life. And every day I would just sit there. Sometimes I'd pray a rosary. I would just talk with the Lord. Sometimes I would just close my eyes and kind of rest, early in the morning. But it was really an amazing kind of encounter, kind of my thanksgiving to God for what he did and giving me this gift. So the Basilica became a big part of that. And then just my falling in love with the church, the institution of the church, and the bishops, the cardinals, just everything. I just fell in love with it. So that's kind of how this pilgrimage started as well. Let's go encounter these other basilicas in other parts of the country, because I'm sure there's many graces to be had at these other churches. And then ultimately encourage people to go try to have these encounters like I had at Mary's Shrine in DC, but in their own basilicas to actually go encounter Christ, because there's so much love that can be poured out to the beauty of these places.
Thanks for sharing that beautiful story and part of your journey in faith. And really, in many ways, I think that also shows how these beautiful churches can also evangelize and help in our growing in the faith. And so in what way do you see basilicas as places of pilgrimage, pilgrimage itself as maybe an opportunity for deepening one's faith and for evangelizing?
Yeah. Well, if you ever go to Rome and you go into the Scavi, where St. Peter is buried, they talk about how Christians have been making pilgrimage from the very beginning, right? To see St. Peter's body, and there's all this history and the wall art that shows that people would make pilgrimage. So, Christians are really the OG pilgrimage makers. And I think it's not just the spirit of adventure it kind of provides to the faith, but it's just incredibly spiritual. I think, the journey is not always easy, going to these churches. Sometimes, like I was mentioning to you earlier, you have to drive, 6 hours in the middle of nowhere, with no restaurants or bathrooms. You just kind of go and do it. But it's kind of the journey to these beautiful places. Then when you get there, it's the real joy of being able to not only see Christ in the tabernacle, but experience the beauty of the place that you're in. So there's, I think, something tremendously spiritual about that. But I think it's also beauty speaks to the soul in a really unique way. And one of, like I mentioned, the pillars of these basilicas being liturgy and music, they all prioritize that. So obviously they're all in different styles, but when you go and encounter it, it's just so good for the soul. I mean, it's been so good for my soul to see whether you're in the South or in the Northeast or out West, that there are pockets of beauty that exist and that are thriving. So not only the evangelization of the world, but for Catholics, it's good for us to leave our normal pews that we sit in every Sunday and go somewhere new and have a new experience and have a new vision of beauty and hear the history of a church. It really speaks to you. There's a really great book also that I recommend called How to Read Churches. And it really goes through when you walk into a church, like what to look for. Because there's so much theology in a church, right? It's not just a building with pretty stuff and in the tabernacle. It's like it's built really as a Christian symbol. So I just encourage people when they travel and they go on pilgrimage to really take the time to understand what you're looking at and why you're going through it. Because then you really appreciate the joys of the place. So yeah, that would be my recommendation too, is to go in with an open heart and to be well informed when you encounter those churches.
So Grady, you said you've seen 62 basilicas out of 94 so far. Out of those 62, do you have any favorites, any that stick out, maybe any like moments that really like solidified, like, oh, this is, you know, top five basilica worthy, or how does that, do you have any like recommendations of places people should see, or kind of just what have been kind of your favorite moments so far of your whole journey?
It's so hard because there's just amazing churches, but a few that I have just fallen in love with. Obviously, Mary Shrine in DC is my number one because of the, you know, the emotional attachment, and it's just a work of art. But some of the others, one that I visited recently that I was just stunned by was the Basilica of St. Francis Xavier in Dyersville, Iowa. Totally random. You drive by this church. It's just a brick church. You think it's just a local parish. You walk in, and it was one of the most magnificent masterpieces I've ever seen. Just beautiful statues, art, the baldacchino, the paintings. It was just spectacular. I just recently posted it on my social media. The Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis, Missouri, is a gem, a real masterpiece. Another mosaic kind of Byzantine basilica. Also, the basilica in St. Augustine, Florida is very unique. I always tell people it's a beautiful red ceiling. Again, just very unique kind of take on the church. One experience I always share of just a little encounter, I was down in Atlanta, Georgia at their cathedral basilica. And I had done, you know, I think it was Chattanooga, Tennessee and a couple others. And then I was ending the day in Atlanta. And when I got to the church, I've never been to Atlanta. I never go to Atlanta. So I really needed to see this church. And when I got there, it was closed. And I was like, oh, and I always call ahead. I always look ahead. And I'm thinking, gosh, like it's locked. I went to the rectory. There was nobody there. I tried everything. I had the office. No one was there. So I was super bummed. I got back in the car and I left. And I'm driving away. And I'm probably maybe about a mile away or so. I'm about to get back on the highway. And I just keep hearing internally, turn around. Like, it's closed, you know, it's not open. But I was really the strong feeling of go back. So I bang a UE, I turn around, I went back to the church, parked the car, went back up to the door, still closed, thinking, okay, it's like, what's it's still closed, there's nothing here. So I went back over to the parish and I noticed there wasn't a doorbell at the door, but in the top right corner, there was a little button. So I was pressing the button and I waited and waited. And then all of a sudden, this little older man sticks his head out and he goes, can I help you? And I said, I'm doing a basilica pilgrimage. This is the next one on my list. I'm never here. Is there any chance I can see it? He said, sure. So he comes around, he unlocks the door, you know, all that stuff. So he's showing me the church and it was beautiful. Obviously, being in DC, Cardinal Gregory, who is our Cardinal Archbishop, that used to be his cathedral. So it was really cool to see. And we're walking around and he goes, oh, and by the way, today's our basilica feast day because today's the day of our dedication. So you get a plenary indulgence by doing the pilgrimage as long as you do the normal conditions. And I was like, you have no idea how amazing this story is. I said, I left and I really felt you need to go back. And I said, and so you responded to the God's call because I came back and you answered. So just little moments like that, where it's just been, you see God calling you to the faith and to the church. And he always rewards courage and patience and you listening with 10x grace, if you actually pursue it and listen to it. So there's been tons of little moments like that where I've just really felt God calling me to continue this. And I hope people will do the same.
How has it helped you to grow in your faith? I mean, you've throughout the dialogue that we've had, you've mentioned in a number of instances growth in faith, but I mean, doing this is one, it's quite a commitment. And two, it sounds as if there's just these tremendous moments of, you know, God is really present and active in my life. And so what has this done in embarking on this pilgrimage to these various basilicas done for your faith?
Yeah. I typically say that, because people always ask, you know, why basilicas? Like, why not national shrines? Why, you know, just why that? And I think it's a couple things, but it really boils down to love. It's my love for Christ, but my love for the church has just exploded through this. Just seeing how the church is an institution and a faith that has been around for so long, unwavering, and it continues to produce beauty wherever it has a footprint. So a real love for what the church has done for the world, and just a love for the Pope and bishops. You know, like I mentioned, I've made kind of part of this is prayer. Obviously, pilgrimage is only really effective if you pray through it. And praying for the Holy Father, praying for the bishops, and just to me, doing that is just, it's made me have a love for them and their priesthood and their vocation just abundantly. So I think that's the first thing. But then secondly, for me to encounter Christ in these settings, it's made me kind of want to help other people see the beauty and have them fall in love with the church and to support the church. Like, the church really needs the support here in America of us, of its people. So I always tell people, go to these places, you know, make a donation to the church, light a candle, go to mass, like be a part of these communities that rely on us. Because the longer that we can keep Catholicism alive and thriving in this country, it just helps people who are lost and are searching to encounter Christ and to have some encounter with the divine. So I think for me, it really boils down to love. It's really helped me love the church and see the purity of the church in kind of a new light and in a different way.
So Grady, what is it that you might recommend people look for? You've done this 62 times, you know, and you have more to go. Any tips or recommendations, maybe for people who are interested in following in your footsteps, or perhaps they realize, hey, I've never been to the Basilica in my local state or city. I want to go and do that now. What is it that they, you know, any tips on what they could do to help enhance their experience?
Of course. So like I mentioned, I will have a book and a website coming out later in 2026, which hopefully will help consolidate a lot of these recommendations. I think a few things I always recommend is to really look at the holistic list of basilicas, because I found that a lot of people don't realize that there's probably at least a few within driving distance of you that you don't even really realize are basilicas. You know, the DMV, California, New York, the Midwest, even like the Ohio area, you can within 2 days probably hit 7 or 8 basilicas in some of these areas. So really kind of map it out. What I usually do and what I have done is I will fly to like a metropolitan area, kind of figure out what are the most urban basilicas, and then I kind of branch off from there. So for example, like this past week, I flew into Minneapolis, saw their basilica, and then drove all the way down to Wichita, Kansas. And I was able to hit about 6 basilicas. Took me a little under probably 36 hours or something, you know, and all in to kind of do this. But again, like, you can do this. And I think the driving piece, there are portions where you'll be driving for many hours. You know, but it's kind of a time where I pray my rosary, I call loved ones, I just kind of, it sounds crazy, but just talk to God out loud in the car alone. Like, it's just, it's such a time to just encounter God on the way to these places. And then when you get there, you can kind of enjoy the peace and the beauty of it in a unique way. I also have found too that a lot of times I'll listen to podcasts or like homilies in the car, like while I'm driving, to kind of like make the drive spiritual too. And there's so many beautiful parts of the country you drive through. Like, I've seen so many states now, just like driving through them. So yeah, it's not only the spiritual piece, but you just, it's a real adventure to see all of this. So enjoy it, take pictures, be prayerful through it. And really appreciate like every corner that you're in. Not every basilica is going to be this massive, you know, Gothic, beautiful, you know, 2000 seater church. Some are these smaller, you know, tiny parishes, but so that's why you really need to look into the history and understand why it's important. Cause then you'll appreciate it way more than if you just walked in and said a prayer and left. So, yeah, do your research, pray your way through it, and make the journey because it's worth it.
Well, thank you very much, Grady, for being with us on the podcast today and giving our listeners a little preview of what we can expect from your book, from this website that you're putting together. We certainly wish you well as you continue to travel the country to finish up this pilgrimage. And I really just want to thank you for giving us a little more insight into perhaps these churches that, as you've mentioned, maybe just within a couple hours driving distance of our listeners, and encourage them to go check them out for themselves and experience God there. Well, this wraps up another episode of On Mission from the Catholic Apostolate Center. We encourage you to like, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can find more of On Mission and our other Catholic Apostolate Center podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or our special podcast website, CatholicApostolateCenterPodcast.com.